How can you achieve and maintain business growth? Harvard Business School Executive Education is now accepting applications for a new program, Driving Profitable Growth. Taking place in Boston from October 25th through the 28th, this program focuses on business expansion and organizational growth strategies that can lead your company into the future. Learn more about this three-day program for senior leaders by visiting hbs.me/growth. That's hbs.me/growth.
You are Locked On Lakers, your daily podcast on the Los Angeles Lakers. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network. Your team, every day.
Welcome, everybody, to the Locked On Lakers podcast. I am Anthony Irwin. Yesterday was the first. So
today is the second, and this is going up on the second or the third.
Yeah. So I am exhausted. New Year's took a toll on my body. I am old. So we're going to go ahead and we're going to we're just going to answer your questions. We're just going to turn on the mic. We said go. And here we go. Before we get to that, though, and that was Harrison, by the way, in the background. Before we get to that, make sure you're following the show on Audioboom, iTunes, Silver Screen, Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and Today's Fast Break. Make sure you're using the promo code LOLAKERS on SeaCake and Mac Weldon, and Lakers10 on BetDSI.com. Harrison, you told me, you specifically told me not to read this morning. You said, do not look at the Locked On Lakers mentions. Again, that's at Locked On Lakers if you guys want to send us questions. That's honestly probably the best way to get a hold of us, because Harrison and my mentions lately have been just complete tire fires, so we can't really see everything. But if you mention Locked On Lakers,
we like our Locked On Lakers fans better anyway.
That's also true. Yes, I completely agree. So if you want to get a comment into the show, if you want to ask us a question, if you really want to get a hold of us, that's the best way. At Locked On Lakers on Twitter, make sure you're following that account. Harrison, we fielded questions. Where do you want to start today's show with?
Okay, so I wanted to say let's get the easy ones out of the way. I wish we had a catchier name for this segment. Maybe we'll come up with something later.
Hashtag take your questions Tuesday is what we're doing.
Take your questions Tuesday. Okay, well, let's get the quick ones out of the way first. Okay, I did this a little bit on Twitter last night, so those of you that follow me may have gotten my opinion, but I'm curious for Anthony's. So, Anthony, we get this from @pulp8fiction, and he says, should Ingram spend some time in the D-League?
No. The D-League is for, like, Hashim Thabeet-type bus. When you're talking about guys picked in the first 10 picks, the first round, let alone the first 10 picks.
Yeah, that's not to say anything bad about the D-League or whatever, but generally guys that are picked that high, you're just not going to send them down that quickly.
And I frankly don't think he offensively. So I had this conversation.
He's getting
with
like
Snotty.
30 minutes a game. There's no reason. He's getting 30 minutes a game with the Lakers. The only reason to send him down into the D-League would be to get him more time.
Yeah. Like it works for Zubats because he isn't playing. I do want to ask you off the top of your head, what do you think he has a net positive rating?
A positive net rating? No, yeah. He doesn't. I know he doesn't.
Oh, I forgot I was talking to Spock and you have this.
Yeah, I was just looking at these last night. I think Tarik Black's the only one with a positive one right now.
Really?
Yeah.
Nance doesn't even have one?
No.
That's odd. I mean, I guess it makes sense if the team as a whole or what, they're 12 and...
Yeah, the team's 30. Been really bad lately, and I believe when I checked last night that Tarik Black was the only guy with a positive net rating still. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Although, let's see. No, Lou Williams is the other one. And Larry Nance Jr. is only a negative 0.9.
Yeah. Those guys make sense then.
You want to guess who's fourth?
Who's fourth? Is it Russell?
Yeah, it's Russell. It's actually the it's actually the subject of our next question, since I think we answered the Ingram D League thing pretty thoroughly. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
So this one comes to us from @IamJulianVargas, and he says, "Will this game finally shut up dumb Laker fans clamoring about how D'Lo sucks, trading him or nah?" Nah is the answer.
those Laker fans aren't going anytime soon. Anywhere
anytime
soon.
Guys aren't going to go away. Even if Russell becomes a superstar, the types of people that complain about Russell are generally going to continue to complain about him, because it's not totally just his game, I guess. I don't know. It's something about his style, I would imagine, that is their problem.
They're probably Trump supporters. I do want to.
Okay. Well, anyway, D'Angelo Russell is fourth in net rating. The Lakers are only being outscored by -2.9 points while he's on the floor, which, considering that the team net rating is -6.7, is not bad at all.
So I want to say to the last question asker, great movie. Pulp Fiction is my favorite movie of all time. So that happened, and then
that was two questions ago. But
really.
That was the first question. Oh, the set. Lord. Yeah.
New year, new me. I do want to say this about Russell, and I think it's why a lot of people don't necessarily like him. He doesn't do anything that wows you, right? Until he throws like a great pass. He's not athletic enough to, you know, get above the rim and wow you that way. He's not like a Steph Curry type shooter. He's not a Kawhi Leonard type defender. Like, he doesn't do anything that is just, oh my god, look at this guy go. He doesn't do any of that, so it's a lot harder for fans of his game to explain why they're fans of his game. And I think it's why it's a lot easier for people who aren't fans of his game to poke holes in it, because he's really good, he's solid around the basketball court, but he doesn't do anything that makes you say, oh my god, look at this guy go.
And he looks, to kind of piggyback on that, it looks lackadaisical with him. He's not a guy who looks like he's just flying around out there smashing into guys. He's like the anti-Russell Westbrook almost in that way.
Absolutely.
Where Russell Westbrook's game just screams effort because he's just pounding his body into the ground constantly. Whereas Russell plays a little bit more under control than that. And that's not to disparage Westbrook or whatever. Different players play different ways. Russell Westbrook is amazing the way that he plays. Just that's not, if D'Angelo Russell started playing that out of control, it would not go as well for him. And
it wouldn't work for the Lakers either. Nobody benefits if he changed up his playing. His playing style, like the style of game that he plays, works pretty well for him. And he's in his second year, and, you know, he's the fourth best player according to net rating on the Lakers. Like, not many second year players can say that. Apparently my mic didn't want to work today, so new year, new mic is on the verge, is coming shortly for Locked On Lakers. But to finish off the D'Angelo Russell conversation that we were having, I think nuance is hard. Nuance is tough, especially on Twitter. You only have 140 characters, and frankly, sports coverage in recent years has been make your stance as hot a take as possible and defend it as arduently.
The louder you are, the more you get paid, essentially.
yeah, exactly. So you have that kind of going on, and unfortunately, the effect it's had on sports fandom is you have a whole bunch of people just trying to emulate and impersonate First Take, basically, on Twitter. And when that is going on and the nuance is that hard for people to figure out, people are forced to say, like, okay, I love D'Angelo Russell, or I hate D'Angelo Russell. And it's kind of one or the other. And what I'm saying is, you can be a fan of somebody and still kind of poke holes in their game. That's perfectly fine. He's in his second year, so of course he's going to have holes.
Yeah, we're not saying he's flawless. Yeah. We're saying he does some good things. He definitely turns the ball over a little bit too much, and there are times where maybe he's a little bit too lackadaisical.
Absolutely. And so what we're saying is practice nuance a little bit. You can dislike parts of his game.
His defense.
While also being a fan of where you know, the direction his career is going in, which honestly, it's funny to me. When people who aren't Laker fans talk to me about the Lakers, they're trying to figure out why Laker fans wouldn't like this kid. Have you gotten that sense? Like when I send out, like, you know, people who dislike D'Angelo Russell, people who aren't Laker fans, and granted they're bloggers, so, you know, it's kind of our job.
It skews the sample size a little bit.
It absolutely does. It's our
job. I would imagine the national casual fan is no higher on D'Angelo Russell than a lot of the casual fans in Los Angeles that aren't quite seeing sometimes the good stuff that he does in addition to the mistakes that he makes.
Right.
And again, he's just 20.
Yeah, but it's funny to me, though. Like, when I talk to, I guess they're colleagues, right? They're colleagues or peers in the industry, whatever we would call them. They're sitting there trying to figure out, wait, why wouldn't Laker fans like this kid? He's fun to watch. He's charismatic, in my opinion. He has the ice in my veins thing, which, dude, think of... this is a stupid question, but...
He dropped 14 in the fourth quarter last night.
This is, like I said, this is going to be a dumb question, but
great.
Has any other second-year player done anything as cool as the ice in my veins thing?
That's a good question.
I really don't think so. Like, nobody's done anything. Like, obviously, Carl Anthony Towns. I mean,
Joel Embiid's whole Twitter account.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah, I know he's a third-year player now, but, I mean, like, he was gold from his rookie year on Twitter. Like, he is the best NBA social media presence of anyone. It's not even close.
He invented sliding in the DMs.
Well, I think according to him, he did.
No, but, like, the phrase, sliding in the DMs, like, he was the first one who... He coined that phrase, in my opinion.
That's not quite accurate, but it's okay. You're old. Yeah.
I'm old. All right. But yeah, no, I'm again, though, like, in terms of just fandom, nobody in their second year or other than Joel Embiid has done anything as cool as pointing at their arm and saying they actually have ice in their veins. Like, that's really awesome. Like, Jared Dubin of Locked On Knicks said that his nickname should be Mr. Freeze, and I freaking love it, you know? And for me, again... When you combine the direction his career seems to be going, you combine what it's like watching him play basketball, because for me, as a former point guard, I enjoy watching him play the point guard position at this young an age. And you add all that stuff up and combine it with the ice in my veins stuff. He's a fun player to root for, and I don't necessarily see where Laker fans are coming from when I see people like rooting against him. And I really think that's weird. I don't know where that's coming from.
Yeah, I for whatever reason, people just aren't necessarily the biggest fan, I think, of his game or his demeanor. And I think we got into some of that stuff, and it's a little weird. But yeah, I don't have a whole lot more to add to what you just said.
Yeah. So we really appreciate the questions. To those of you who send those in,
we got one more.
We have one more question, and then we're gonna segue from that into Harrison's favorite take or favorite segment that he's ever gonna do.
Yeah, but definitely. So we got two questions from @JaredLittle, and he says, could we get any value from a bubble contender for Nick Young or Lou Williams? Ideally, younger assets or picks. And then he kind of added on, is there any way to bundle Moz or Dang with them? And then he added a smiley face, I think, knowing that that is very unlikely.
Yeah, no, Dang and Mozgov are here to stay.
I don't think you're getting a team to take Dang or Mozgov's deal in exchange for Lou Williams or half a season of Nick Young.
We'll get into this in a second, but I actually think in order for the Lakers to get legitimate assets back, they'd have to take on contract money, you know, for the next few years. We'll talk about it in a bit, but yeah, okay. Dang and Mozgov are here to stay. And regarding the first part of the question with, you know, whether the Lakers can get some kind of value for Lou or Nick, I'd be surprised if they couldn't. It would be a failure, in my opinion, if they couldn't get some kind of value for these guys, because they've completely turned around their careers.
So you're saying it would be a failure if they couldn't. I'd actually be interested to hear why you think so, other than that they're playing well, because there has to be a market for them. Who needs them? That's what I'm trying. That's been the hardest thing is which team needs either of those guys and is going to see them as an answer to push them over the top.
Well, for one thing, the Thunder definitely need a shooter, right? If they consider themselves playoff contenders, they need somebody who can space the floor better than and still be a use defensively. Anybody better than Anthony Morrow, basically.
How hilarious would it be if Nick Young's audition for the Thunder was that stolen pass buzzer beater and they ended up trading for him later in the year?
I mean, I'm here for it.
Can you imagine? So he did that to Lou Williams when Lou Williams was quote unquote the lead guard on the floor. Can you imagine if he did that to Russell Westbrook? I don't think Nick Young's making it out of that arena.
No, and that's why.
If he made the shot.
Yeah, no, that's why Russell is the closest thing to Kobe because like we could actually see murder occurring. Like,
yeah,
Kobe would have murdered.
Did anybody see where Nick Young went? Oh, I don't know. I haven't seen him anywhere, Coach.
Yeah, he's actually in an acid bath right now. So
this just went Breaking Bad.
But yeah, I would say the Thunder could use Nick Young. I would say that the Jazz could probably use Lou Williams because Lou Williams is better than Shelvin Mack. The Cavs could use Nick Young if J.R. Smith might not be healthy throughout.
Oh, that's actually a good one. I like that.
Yeah, so there are teams out there that could use these guys, and if the Lakers could get any kind of young asset, like would you? I like that kid.
What team are we talking about here?
Cavs. They have a kid who's playing.
Kay Felder.
Liggins. I like that Liggins kid. If I were the Cavs and I was concerned about J.R. Smith's health, then you send Liggins to Los Angeles for Liggins and probably a pick. I would say Liggins and a second rounder for Nick Young. I make that trade if I'm the Lakers. Why not? And again, it's all about like Nick Young has a player option that he's not going to take up this year because he's going to get paid this offseason because of the way he's played this year defensively more than anything. So if you're the Lakers, you try to get value back where you aren't necessarily going to get value back in the first place. So like I look at Nick Young and I say, yeah, I mean he's been great. I'm really happy for the direction his season has gone in. He owes Luke Walton a portion of the next contract he gets, in my opinion. But yeah, I'd go Liggins and a second rounder maybe a couple second rounders for Nick Young.
Okay. Would it change your mind if Liggins is not maybe as young as you think?
He's what, 22?
Almost 29.
What?
Yeah.
Holy, no, all right, I take that back. What the hell was I thinking? So yeah, it would have to be the Lakers would have to get a good pick then from the Cavs in order to get that, which I don't know if they necessarily have.
Yeah, I mean, I think he fits like kind of decently for what they're trying to do over the next couple years. I don't know off the top of my head how long his contract is with the Cavs, although I'd imagine it's just for this year. So mm-hmm. It's kind of a wash with Young. You'd have to be getting an asset.
Yeah.
So I think the even a Cavs first rounder they might be willing to trade just because it's not going to be that high.
Yeah. No. I was hesitant to go with the first round thing, but yeah. I mean, if the Lakers could somehow get a
first rounder,
yeah, there are some
teams where it's like a first rounder is like no way, but yeah. The Cavs are one of those teams where maybe they're willing to move a first rounder at some point just because you only have LeBron for so many years. At least as far as we know, he might actually be a Terminator that just doesn't die and plays until he's 60. Yeah. But yeah.
And like same rule applies with Lou Williams. You know, everything that we just said about Nick Young can also be said about Lou Williams. I still think Lou is the most efficient chucker in the league. I think he still earns that title or owns that title.
Yeah, you almost wish he was a little bit more of a passer and the Lakers had some type of undervalued passer coming off the bench because then the Sixers would definitely be a candidate to make a trade for him because they desperately need a point guard.
If the Sixers called the Lakers right now and said Noel for Lou, that's a no-brainer, right?
Yeah, that's a no-brainer, but they wouldn't do that. I don't think Lou Williams is the type of player that they're looking for.
Even with – because – the reason they're trying to move Noel right now is because he has to get paid at the end of this year.
Yes, and he has they have like a big man logjam.
Yeah, and so I mean his value is actually probably lower than you think because of how many teams know they have to move him.
Yeah.
So like when Nerlens Noel gets traded, I'm telling you guys right this right now, you're going to laugh at whatever he.
Yeah, people are going to say the Sixers lost the trade, but they're just they're trying to get some. You would think that they're going to try and get something.
Yeah, that's the right move to make. All right, so this kind of segues us into Harrison's what's going to be Harrison's favorite segment that he'll do all week. And we have a fun guest coming for you guys on Friday, which I'm really excited about.
But, hopefully.
Yeah. So let's look at these. I basically had some fun on Twitter. I found the NBA trade machine and I just kind of jumped on it. And
yeah, whichever one of you taught him how to use the NBA trade machine, I'm disappointed in you. You know what? I'm banning you from the next episode. You're not allowed to listen to tomorrow's show.
Oh, man. The trade machine was fun. Like I had a
one show suspension for whoever taught him how to use the trade machine.
I had a blast on it. All right, so let's go ahead and so the first one that I threw out there, and it came on the heels of you know writing the Jim Buss article and seeing if he might try to save his job. With which by the way, if you guys want to read it, I wrote it on Silver Screen and Roll. I wrote an article basically taking us through the timeline and what might be able to. What might have to happen with Jim Buss. I can read and write, it turns out. Sorry, Harrison, I just haven't been reading your stuff. But
that's okay.
But yeah, so basically the first place I started was the Lakers trade Jordan Clarkson, Jose Calderon, or Brandon Ingram, or D'Angelo Russell, depending on what the Pacers want to get back. Matt Moore chimed in and said that the Lakers would probably have to send Russell instead of Ingram. And the Lakers would get Paul George and Monte Ellis. And the reason they would get Monte Ellis is because he has a contract that extends for the next 3 years. So, like I said, the Lakers would have to take on salary.
So what are say again what the Lakers are giving up then? You confuse me a little bit.
It would be Jordan Clarkson.
Okay.
Jose Calderon.
Okay.
And one of Brandon Ingram or D'Angelo Russell. Are you there?
Yeah, I'm thinking. I think. I think honestly, you might have to make that trade.
I think so too.
Yeah, I mean, Paul George is really good. I'm as high on Russell as anyone, but I think you might have to do that one.
And the reason I know it was a good idea on my part was because I had both Lakers and Pacers fans telling me to kill myself. So,
wow.
No, I'll show you the ads when we go off.
Oh,
here.
Okay.
Unless they were deleted, which like they might have deleted them, but yeah, no, the reason I thought it was a good trade was because both Pacers and Laker fans hate it, so I think it's good value going either way, and yeah. I
both teams hate it, so it must be a great trade.
Hey man, when I sent out that you know maybe the Lakers could get Otto Porter and John Wall, which we'll go ahead and talk about that one right now. I said that the Lakers could go, they could send who was it? Yeah, Clarkson, Russell, and Ingram for John Wall and Otto Porter. And people thought, oh my God, yeah, make that trade now. that tells me that it probably wouldn't be great for the Washington.
Yeah, why a bunch of Laker fans were in my mentions the other night saying they thought that D'Angelo Russell for John Wall would be a straight up trade that would work? Because if that's your fault, I'm even more upset.
it might have been my fault. But the trade that I basically. That wasn't realistic to me. The Lakers would get too much out of that. So I said that the Lakers...
People forget John Wall is really good. And I don't want to do the lame cliche, people forget this thing that people don't actually forget.
Yeah.
But I think people are actually forgetting that, or at least some Laker fans are, just because, I mean, he's never on national TV, so that's probably part of it.
Mm-hmm.
But he's really good. Mm-hmm. And I had people saying that the D'Angelo Russell for John Wall, the Wizards would make that straight up.
They would not.
And I just am. I don't think the Wizards would do that. No. I'm sorry. I think Russell's going to be really good, but John Wall is already really good, and that's guaranteed.
He's a fan favorite, too. Like
And he's locked in on a pretty cheap contract.
Yeah, yeah. So,
it's not like he's super overpaid.
He's not going anywhere in time. And actually, that's why he and Bradley Beal aren't getting along, apparently, is because he's paid $5 million less per year than Bradley Beal is. So
I'd be mad about that, too, if I was John Wall, to be honest.
Yeah, he's absolutely
that'd,
right.
That'd be like if you were getting paid way more per show than I was.
All right, I won't show you my pay stubs then. So the last trade target that I looked at was DeMarcus Cousins, and it was Jordan Clarkson, D'Angelo Russell, and Julius Randle for DeMarcus Cousins and Willie Cauley-Stein.
Jordan Clarkson, D'Angelo Russell, and Julius Randle for DeMarcus Cousins and Willie Cauley-Stein?
Yeah.
I don't know. See, it's like from a value perspective, you say, yeah, the Lakers are getting the best player in that trade right now. Mm-hmm. But I almost think that you can't do that because you're just creating King South.
Yep. I agree. I completely agree. And like, at least
with those other guys, you have a chance to spread some talent around your roster. Mm-hmm. With Cousins, I don't know that we have a track record that there's these guys. This is the thing that I always come back to. People are like, oh, you trade all your assets for him, and then you add people in free agency to play alongside of him. I don't know that guys are necessarily lining up to play alongside DeMarcus Cousins. And I know that might be a little bit of a hot take, mm-hmm. but I think that's a real thing.
He's kind of an ass.
Other than John Wall, I think John Wall might want to play with DeMarcus Cousins. So if you're playing the really long game.
Yeah, yeah. But again, John Wall is on a contract for 3 years, and his game is going to fall off a cliff when he is no longer.
We need to find a way to get DeMarcus Cousins to the Wizards.
Yeah. Oh, man, that'd be so much fun. That would be a blast.
That's your next trade machine homework.
All right, I'll jump on there right now. This does it, though, for our mailbag and in trade proposal show. We have a fun show. We have a fun week of shows ahead of you. We're getting back on schedule every day. We will be talking about the Lakers here on Audio Boom, iTunes, Silver Screen and Roll, TuneIn, Stitcher, and today's Fast Break. We have a really fun guest on Friday, and I would imagine we're going to have a couple more guests as the week goes along. So you're going to want to tune in for that. Thanks, everybody, for listening. Happy New Year. I hope everybody rang in the new year safely and soundly. And Harrison put together a fun article where he gave resolutions to all of the Lakers. So go read that. If you want, you can go read my Jim Buss stuff. And we will talk to everybody again mañana.